For the last several weeks, we have been praying and sensing that the Lord is up to something, that the Lord is birthing a new thing in the church. And I was just, as I was praying before getting ready to hear from Genevieve, I was thinking, it makes sense as the Holy Spirit is trying to birth a new movement in God's people that the men should be quiet and sit down and let the women lead. And so I'm really excited to hear from my friend Genevieve this morning. She has already birthed three beautiful babies at quite a young age. And she is full of wisdom. And one of my favorite things about her is she's full of a sincere and desperate love of Jesus. And so you're going to be blessed by her this morning. Let's welcome our sister Genevieve this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Everyone, it brings me so much joy to be here with you today. Like Nate said, I'm Genevieve Schultz. I am for some reason on the preaching and teaching team here at Park Street. I have imposter syndrome every time I start to write a sermon. But the Lord reminds me that he doesn't get imposter syndrome, so I just need to shut up and listen. I have three beautiful yet incredibly crazy kids, Kit, Marlo, and Holland, and a very beautiful and slightly less crazy husband, Jack, whom I love very dearly and who keeps me grounded every day. We have been in the book of Hebrews for the past couple of weeks, and it's a book. I thought I would have an easier time talking about our topic for today, which is like his brothers in every way, because we really get to dive into the humanness of Jesus. I found out that one of the ways I try to make God more manageable is to take out his humanness altogether, because if Jesus was really human, then he can actually understand what I'm going through. And I prefer to just handle everything alone. I try to fit God into this neat little box that I keep in this safe little place and only open when I want to. But the problem with keeping the most passionate thing in the world in a box is it will always explode because the love of Jesus cannot be contained. And I'm always shocked when the Holy Spirit shows up, because I'm like, who let you out of the box? But the power of the one who formed our world together cannot be controlled, much to my dismay. Hebrews is a book, as Nate has mentioned in the weeks prior, that we don't know who the author is, and we also don't know who the audience is. It's suspected that the audience were primarily Jewish believers who were considering turning away from Christianity and turning back to Judaism. And the author is basically like, no, don't do that. And the author encourages these Jewish Christians to endure and to warn them not to abandon their faith. This brought a question to my mind, which is, what do I turn back to? And it isn't necessarily another form of religion, but what are the things that I turn to before turning to my Father? Last week, Nate gave us a list of things that we turn back to or even turn to first before turning to the kingdom. Wealth and material possessions, career success, personal comfort, family and relationships, self-image, people-pleasing, fleeting pleasure, political power, education, health, religious rituals, technology, and my personal favorite, control of the future. If these verses we are about to read are true, which I wholeheartedly believe they are, Jesus was tempted to turn to these things, but he always went first to his Father. Jesus, like his brothers in every way, carried the weight of what it's like to walk on this earth, carried the simple day-to-day challenges and emotions that we all face, hunger, thirst, exhaustion, sadness, anger, joy, along with the burden of being the patron for all of humanity, providing the lifeline, the support for all who are tired of doing it alone. So the word of God for the people of God this morning, Hebrews 2, 10 through 18. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the words that you have given me. I pray that you would speak through me. I give you my mind, my body, my voice, my spirit, my soul. I pray a blessing over today for the hearts of the family gathered here this morning. Thank you for the truth of your word that we can always run back to. In your name I pray. Amen. One of the big questions I see a lot of people subconsciously, consciously struggle with is, what do I need a savior for? Or maybe the more relatable question is, yeah, sure, I believe in Jesus, but why would I need to invite him into the hard stuff? I struggle with this question because if I'm being honest, which I always will be, sometimes when I invite Jesus in, I feel the tension stronger than I did before. And more times than not, my flesh feels the war against my earthly body and my spirit. My temptation to find relief in nicotine doesn't just poof away. My postpartum depression doesn't magically get healed. The wounds from my past still cut so deep that at times I can almost feel them inside my bones. I try to hide behind my family and even my marriage because that seems safe. But even though my marriage and my family are gifts from the Lord, it's not strong enough to hold me up. And even so, that's way too much pressure to put on my husband. I'm reminded of when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit in Genesis, and they realized that they are naked, and they feel shame, and try to cover themselves with fig leaves. And in Genesis 3:21, it says, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them." Even then, our Father cared enough to cover the parts of Adam and Eve that were causing them shame. Jesus covers all. He is our one and only thing we should hide behind. And not just hide behind, hide in. He invites us to become one with him. This is why God sent his Son, why the Creator became creation, for us to have redemption instead of running to all the things that will ultimately never satisfy. and to run full speed ahead towards the one and only who can cover us fully? Are we living out of the truth that we are covered by the blood of Jesus? Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." We were never made for separation. We were made for harmony. We were never made to process death. We were made to live eternally with our Creator. And no matter what you believe or feel, I know everyone feels this tension. This tension that separates us from the one thing we were made to be close to live out of. Whether you try to drown this tension with drugs, alcohol, work, politics, social media, I've done them all. You can't escape it fully. You can't escape the whisper that you were made for something better. And Jesus had to experience this tension. A person cannot have sympathy until they go through the same things that the other person has gone through. That is precisely what Jesus did. Yet, he did not sin. And yet he died and rose again so that we may, yes, still live in tension because the devil still rules this earth, but we may have an undeniable hope that Christ will return and make all things new. Jesus will walk towards your mess. And I'm not talking about dirty dishes in the sink mess, even though most of the time I'm praying while doing those dishes. I'm talking about the no one will accept me if they knew the truth about me mess, the struggle that has you suffocating mess. The enemy will always try to deceive you. And the best way to combat the enemy's lies, speaking them out loud. Share them with someone who will pray truth over you. Jesus, as fully God and fully human, didn't even walk this earth alone. He invited people to walk and talk and eat and follow and love and pray for others with him. I have a pretty personal story that I'm going to share this morning. It has to do with my dad. Some of you may know him. I'm assuming most of you do not, but nonetheless, he spent years living out of this tension until it finally consumed him. He never shared the deepest parts of his wounded heart. And a lot of this had to do with the shame that was caused by a church my parents went to when they first became believers, but we won't get into that today. But even when he was surrounded by people who I know truly loved him, he never opened up. Maybe he thought it was too late and he just kept thinking, tomorrow I'll be better. But then one day, the baggage, the lies, the weight, all that he was carrying, it got too heavy. And his life that he had created and was hiding behind, it blew up in his face, and he gave up. Please hear me when I say it is never too late. And please, please don't give up. Run to the Father with open arms. No sin, no past, no mistake, no current temptation, no future temptation is too heavy for him to carry. I'm always shocked the lighter I feel, the easier it is to fight against the enemy when, one, I confess when I am weak. I truly don't think you can step into who God has made you to be on this side of heaven without community. I mean, you can try, but it will really suck. And two, when I just look to the light of Jesus, the closer you keep yourself to Jesus, the more you turn your eyes upon Jesus, the more the things of this world will grow strangely dim. Jesus, the only one who can ever truly understand the tension, the struggle, the highs, and the lows that it is to be human. And that is what we should do with this tension that won't go away until he returns, is look to the one who walked blamelessly and perfectly on this earth, who defeated death, yet deeply understands what it's like to experience human nature. And God didn't just send his son to become a human and experience suffering, which he did. Jesus was also always pushed towards humans that suffered, which is so beautiful. And there are so many examples of this in the Bible, how Jesus physically healed the sick who were outcasts in society, how he showed compassion to those who were marginalized and oppressed, showing forgiveness, offering a path to redemption, saying, leave this behind, follow me. All of this and more, which point back to the love of the Father. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, we might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. The enemy is all-consuming, and he doesn't just want part of your attention. He wants all of it. And he tries to get into every aspect of our lives. I believe especially religion. A religious person is Satan's favorite, because there is nothing better than a person who thinks he is living a life comfortably with God, but in reality never truly opens his heart to the one who can save. I don't know if comfortable and God go together. I can speak very frankly that when I have come to the feet of Jesus with my suitcases full of junk, it is incredibly uncomfortable, because the devil does not want it to happen. And it is very polar opposite of what the human condition wants to do. I mean, imagine something more uncomfortable than sharing your deepest, most vulnerable parts of yourself. The devil even tried to get into Jesus' head. He will try to get into your head every day. But once we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have the power of the one who defeated death, and we can kick the devil's butt every time. 1 Corinthians 15:55-57, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is a daily battle, one that doesn't go away on this side of eternity. And it takes time to reteach our bodies to run on Jesus and not this world. When we step into the victory that is accepting Jesus as our Savior, a sort of metamorphosis begins. Our bodies have to learn and change and grow, and we cannot do it alone. It's hard for me, and I've talked about this before, to comprehend how, and quite frankly, why, Jesus would become flesh and blood, suffered and died, just so that we might break away from the power of the enemy. I mean, for one, it goes to show how truly, truly all-consuming the power of death has on this earth. But it also goes to show the type of raw, unfiltered love God has for us. A love so passionate and beautiful and absolutely terrifying. It's like an all-consuming flame that will burn anything that it comes into contact with. And lately, I've wanted to be consumed by this flame, to just give up control and to let the fire burn all over. Because I'm so tired of feeling a spark and then that spark going out. But for the brief moments I have experienced being close to the fire, it has made me want to jump all in. It feels appropriate that God came to Moses in the form of a burning bush. Can I have a spark that keeps burning? Can I keep feeding this fire so it doesn't go out? Can I be consumed by what feels like at times an explosion that, quite frankly, scares the crap out of me? Yet I know my fear would eat me alive without it. I want to know how to let go of everything so I can love better. Jesus, help me let go of earthly things so that I can let you be in control. Hebrews 12, 20 and 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. I don't know much, truly. But what I do know is I want to truly worship the God who is a consuming fire. And I want to be thankful that I am receiving a home that cannot be shaken. I want to cherish every day that I get to not only love others, but to also be in awe of a God who holds my broken human heart in the palm of his hand and says, I love you, my daughter. I know that life will continue to be hard and that darkness still hides in every shadow. But let's not forget that we have a God who is light, a God who understands humanity in a way that it is as if he experienced it. That's because he did. And when we feel the darkness closing in, may we only need to whisper the name Jesus and trust that no darkness will ever be able to put out his light. Jesus, the one who walked with a heartbeat in his chest, whose eyes wept, whose body suffered, who will always walk towards the one who is suffering, whose mind thought of you as he was hanging on the cross. When he muttered his final words, it is finished. And when he ascended back into heaven and left us with a flame. The Father, the Son, the Spirit, who love you, understand you, will be down in the depths with you, will push you towards the truth that I pray will be louder than the lies and who are all consuming. Father, May we be all consumed by you. Jesus, may we be reminded that in your death, your life, your resurrection, we are made new. We are made complete. We are made in your beautiful image. Thank you for not only suffering on our behalf, but for also walking towards our own suffering. That the earthly things are never too big, that there is nowhere where we can hide, where you won't gently pick us up and say, "You're safe here with me, my child." I lift all of these things up in the holy name of Jesus and pray against any work of the enemy that will try to deceive and disrupt the work of the Spirit. We love you, Lord, and I seal all these things up in your precious and holy name. Amen.